just when to pack his bag and take a new road, he tooked himself up with some of the best horse farms in Ireland. There was no reason he could see why he couldn't do the same in America. More of the same, he thought. It was a big and wide country. He sipped his beer, then lifted an eyebrow when Travis Grant came in. Brian recognized him easily, and his wife as well. The Irish woman, he imagined, was part of his edge in landing this position. The man, Grant, was tall, powerfully built, with hair a thick mixture of silver and black. He had a strong face, tanned and weathered by the outdoors. Beside him, his wife looked like a pixie, with her small, slim build. Her hair was a sweep of chestnut, as glossy as the coat of a prize thoroughbred. They were holding hands. It was a surprising link. His parents had made 4 children between them and worked together as a fine and comfortable team, but they'd never been much for public displays of affection, even as mild a one as hand-holding. A young man came in behind them. He had the look of his father, and Brian recognized him from the track in Kildare. Brendan Grant, heir apparent, and he looked comfortable with it, as well as the sleek blonde on his arm. There were 5 children he knew, had made it his business to know. A daughter, another son, and twins, one of each sort. He didn't expect those who had grown up with privilege to bother themselves overly about the day-to-day running of the farm. He didn't expect that they'd get in his way. Then she rushed in, laughing. Something jumped in his belly, in his chest, and for an instant he saw nothing and no one else. Her build was delicate, her face vibrant. Even from a distance, he could see her eyes were as blue as the lakes of his homeland. Her hair was flame, a sizzling red that looked hot to the touch, and fell wave after wave over her bare shoulders. His heart hammered, 3 hard and violent strokes, then seemed simply to stop. She wore something floaty and blue, paler, shades paler than her eyes. What must have been diamonds fired at her ears. He'd never in his life seen anything so beautiful, so perfect, so unattainable. Because his throat had gone burning dry, he lifted his beer and was disgusted to realize his hand wasn't quite steady. "Not for you, Donnelly," he reminded himself. "Not for you to even dream of. That would be the master's oldest daughter, and the princess of the house." Even as he thought it, a man with a well-cut suit and pampered tan went to her. The way she offered her hand to him was just cool enough, just aloof enough to have Brian sneering, which was a great deal more comfortable than goggling. Oh, yes, indeed, she was royalty, and knew it. The other family came in. That would be the twins, Brian thought, Sarah and Patrick. And a pretty pair they were, both tall and slim with roasted chestnut hair. The girl, Sarah, Brian knew she was just 18, was laughing, gesturing widely. The whole family turned toward her, effectively, perhaps purposely, cutting out the man who'd come to pay homage to the princess. But he was a persistent sort, and reaching her, laid his hand on her shoulder. She glanced over, smiled, nodded. Off to do her bidding, Brian mused as the man slipped away. A woman like that would be accustomed to flicking a man off, Brian imagined, or reining him in, and making him as grateful as the family hound for the most casual of pats. Because the conclusion steadied him, Brian took another sip of his beer, set his glass aside. Now, he decided, was as good a time as any to approach the grand and glorious Grants.
"Then she whacked him across the back of his knees with her cane," Sarah continued, "and he fell face first into the verbena."
"If she was my grandmother," Patrick put in, "I'd move to Australia."
"Sure, Will Cunningham usually deserves a whack. More than once I've been tempted to give him one myself."
Adelia Grant glanced over, her laughing eyes meeting Brian's.
"Well then, you've made it, haven't you?"
To Brian's surprise, she held out both hands to him, clasped his warmly, and drew him into the family center.
"It appears I have. It's a pleasure to see you again, Mrs. Grant."
"I hope your trip over was pleasant."
"Uneventful, which is just as good."
As small talk wasn't one of his strengths, he turned to Travis, nodded.
"Mr. Grant." "Brian, I hoped you'd make it tonight."